Splash.
Splash.
The stories making waves in the sports world.
The Splash.
Cannonball.
Splash. It's brought to you by Rooter Ranger Plumbing. Plumbers you can trust for any of your plumbing services. Call 888-7-RANGER to get you out of plumbing danger.
Okay, item number one, yes, Arizona State's big moment in the sun. They've already had one and they succeeded. They got out of the first four. Now they're part of the field of 16.
So today's moment in the sun is actually during the day.
It actually is going to happen in sunlight, which is very cool. I am so excited for this basketball game. It's going to start at 1 o'clock. We have the pregame show at 12:30. I cannot wait to see what kind of turnout this game gets. Now, we've done a little bit of research, and we found out that the turnout for Wednesday night's first four game might have been not what people expected out and about in the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Which was a contrast to last year, which kind of tells you there's a healthy dose of skepticism around that team on Wednesday. I don't think it'll be there today. I think today could be a really fun day for ASU fans.
Well, you know, I mean, the workplaces of Phoenix treat Friday like part of the weekend anyway, so everybody gets out of work at about 12. They start their happy hour right about tip-off. Yeah, so I think it's going to be much, much bigger today. And look, last year it was true. There was more of a buzz for ASU, first time they had been in the tournament under Bobby Hurley. I think the buzz was greater year to year about ASU last year because of what they did in the non-conference. But
yeah, and it was new.
Certainly, there's that feeling, too, that a lot of basketball fans have that the first four doesn't count.
Uh-huh.
It's not really a game.
Because it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. Go on. Continue, please.
But that feeling is now washed away. This counts. There's no disputing that. This is to advance to a game on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I think you'll see a lot more interest. And you know, Phoenix as a sports town, ASU basketball's got its diehards. We know this.
Yeah.
But Phoenix as a sports town, they like to jump on board with a winner.
Oh.
And now ASU's got a little bit of momentum behind them going into this game. All things considered, you're gonna see a much bigger turnout out and about.
Now you got into something. Well, we'll double back to this, okay? But I think you hit on something that is really vital to all of this, and it has to do with our spring party vibe, okay? You know what we do here? Car auctions, waste management, Phoenix Open, Cactus League games, all of that is coming to an end.
Random Wednesdays.
Here's a Friday, another one of those Fridays where people can be hammered by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. People love it in Arizona. Watching sports.
Mm-hmm.
People love that in Arizona. That's who we are.
It's what we
do. Am I wrong? Come on. What do we like most? We love sporting events that involve big communal outdoor gatherings, free-flowing alcohol, lots of people watching, and something to remotely keep your attention glued.
All right.
I like to drink. I'm going to drink the whole show.
Right. You saw Wedding Crashers, right?
I did.
Remember that line? Football and crab cakes, that's what Maryland does.
Yeah.
So we could be like, day drinking and sunburn, that's what Arizona does.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
Day drinking and bandwagons, that's what we do.
Yeah, that's even better.
All right, ASU Buffalo, that's item number one. Item number two, Ja Morant yesterday for Murray State. He just put on a clinic, Vinny.
He's like good or something.
This guy, his set of skills, let me throw three observations out at you. I wrote these down. Okay, the Marquette coach, here's what he said about Ja Morant. Quote, you can't speed him up. And I thought about that. The calmness that kid shows dribbling the basketball. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Think about him when he gets stronger, said an NBA scout. That's something. Welcome to the elite club, brother. That's from Draymond Green. And the NBA is not going to be a hard transition at all for him. That's from Steph Curry. That's how Ja Morant's performance yesterday was kind of received by people.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I watched it. When we left Twin Peaks doing the show, I went back to the radio station real quick, and then I raced home to watch as much of the Murray State Marquette game I could. And you saw my tweet.
We were texting back and forth
about Morant's performance.
Yep,
really impressive. Obviously, an unbelievable skill set. What impressed me the most was just the vision.
Oh.
Just to be able to make passes, deliver them equally effectively.
Yeah.
off the dribble with either hand. He's a really good player, but I don't think we learned anything.
I did.
There's a microscope on it now because it happened in the NCAA tournament. But John Morant's been doing stuff like this all year.
I know he has. I know he has. Here's the difference. Yesterday was the first time a lot of casual fans in the Valley actually saw John Morant play. I've seen him play this year. This kid, his elevation as a player it kind of mirrors his elevation off the floor. He jumps over people. Mm-hmm. He is so explosive. So my point is Zion Williamson is today. Duke is playing in the set of games after ASU. So they're playing the first game of the evening session tonight, East Coast time. It'll be about, 4 o'clock here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got to believe that Zion watched Ja yesterday and has got something up his sleeve. And that's kind of what this is. It's bringing some star power to this thing,
I don't
man.
Think that happened at all.
Oh, you don't?
No. I think Zion Williamson and Duke are focused on one thing.
Oh, come on. You're insane. I'm sorry.
I'm insane for being logical.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You react very poorly to that word. You are. No, come on. You don't think there's one upsmanship at that level of basketball? You don't think Zion Williamson and those Duke kids watched that and said, okay, now the bar has been set? It happens all the time in the NBA.
I think it's very possible Zion Williamson goes off for 35 points today and breaks a backboard, but that might have happened anyway, despite what Ja Morant did.
Okay.
Morant, by the way, 17 points, 11 rebounds, 16 assists. He rated his own performance a 3.5 out of 5 because of too many turnovers.
Okay.
Gotta like that, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Last night in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns, they lost a basketball game, thank goodness. Andre Drummond, Blake Griffin, too much for the Suns inside. The Suns started throwing the ball around late. And as you pointed out, Devin Booker not exactly happy about it at one point in time.
No. It was a pretty telling quote from Dwayne Rankin's article on AZ Central about one particular turnover that happened that involved DeAnthony Melton. We can get into that later on. It was a strange basketball game. If you were getting on the Suns for slow starts, Devin Booker looked unbelievable early.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton
looked
unbelievable early. And then a couple of things changed. Detroit said, we're going to start playing some defense, and they were really disruptive defensively. They started to make every three-point shot they put up, and I don't know what happened at halftime, but the officials decided that they were going to make it into a ref show, and they absolutely did. And both teams were frustrated, and I think that led to Devin Booker's frustration as well. Just a number of fouls. I believe there's 53 fouls total in last night's game. It was virtually the third quarter of last night's game, and I'm not pinning it on one team or the other. It was one of the most unwatchable periods of basketball I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah.
But still, the Suns, they suffer another injury last night as Josh Jackson goes down with an ankle injury that looked really serious.
Yeah, it did.
When it first happened. When I was walking out of the arena last night, Josh Jackson was in front of me. He was walking without the aid of crutches, but with a noticeable limp. And I heard somebody ask him, hey, Josh, you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. That means he'll probably be shut down for the rest of the season.
Good. You know, I am back in the tank, and I am apologizing for nothing. All right, another item we're going to get into today. Paul Goldschmidt and his contract extension with the Arizona Diamondbacks. This has become a talking point in the Valley because we originally thought it was 5 years, 110. That offer now is, the reportage of it is now 5 years, 130. So it's gone up by 20 mil, but still, Diamondbacks fans, I think, either have become numb by the numbers, or they've become curious why the Padres can afford Manny Machado and others, and why the Diamondbacks did not make an effort to sign Paul Goldschmidt. It's become a talking point.
It's a good question, and at one point during this whole thing, I just reserved myself to the fact that because of the Diamondbacks' market reality, because of the contracts that are on the books for Zach Greinke, who actually contributes to this team's success, and Yasmani Tomas, who doesn't contribute to this team's success, that they were pretty much priced out of re-signing Paul Goldschmidt. Now, there's reports that when the Diamondbacks were talking to Paul Goldschmidt about an extension, the number was way higher than what he actually settled for, which is something I have a problem with, too. And we can get into that a little bit later on.
And listen, I've heard some of the same stuff that Gambo has, and I'll share with you what I know about the situation and what I think about the situation as well. All right, the road trip, not kind to the Arizona Coyotes. They lost again.
Florida has not been kind to the Coyotes.
No, it hasn't been.
They lose last night to the Panthers in Sunrise, Florida, 4-2. While that was happening, the Colorado Avalanche scored a 3-1 win over Dallas. And another team in the mix for a wild card spot, Edmonton, still 5 points behind the Coyotes. They also won. So right now, as it stands, after half this road trip for the Yotes, Bick, Dallas has the number one wild card spot, even with the loss to Colorado. The Avalanche and Coyotes are now tied at 78. Minnesota was idle last night, 77. Chicago lost. They've got 74. Vancouver's got 74. And Edmonton was 73.
Yep.
And I know Doug Frantz spent a good portion of the morning getting acclimated with the NHL tiebreaker scenarios. I don't want to do that. That kind of stuff bores me.
Yeah.
But if you're really into this, you probably should become familiar with it because it's looking like it's going to be a mess down the stretch.
Yeah, it is. Well, no, it is going to be. But that's why this road trip was framed as one of the hardest of the year for the Coyotes, because that's exactly what it is.
Well, and remember,
they've got back-to-back games in New York and New Jersey this weekend. They're playing a couple of hockey teams that they can beat, but it's going to be tough. I mean, playing back-to-back games in the NHL is no joke.
Well, remember when we spoke to Biz on Wednesday, and Paul Bissonnette told us the minimum, a split. Now, they made it really difficult on themselves because they got to get 4 points out of these last two games to make it a true split. So they haven't done themselves any favors.
No.
We'll see if they can bounce back. And again, Derek Stepan could be back for these last two games of the trip, which is big.
Those are your items in today's Splash. A shortened show today.